Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and we're starting a brand new study today, brothers and sisters. Thank you, thank you, thank you for honoring our God and studying. There's nothing real special about my sort of classes or these classes that we're having as far as I go or anything. It's my privilege and my honor to be able to speak God's Word and have anything to do with anything that has to do with His truths and teaching and learning. And just like the Scripture says, even a teacher, do you not teach yourself when you're teaching others? Well, the Lord's been teaching me, and I'm very thankful, and I've learned quite a bit since been in class for probably the last 10 years. The Lord's been teaching me and learning and been in His Word, and it's been an honor and a privilege. I'm not a real smart fella, it took the Lord a little more effort to teach me, I guess. But anyway, what I have learned, I want to share. And, I know that's why you're, joining in with us. And God bless you for that. The Lord bless you for honoring Him. And He does. The Word of God says that the Lord will honor those that honor Him. And you are honoring Him by honoring His Word and studying and following 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we don't want to be ashamed of the word of God, and we don't want to be ashamed of not knowing what the word of God says concerning things. So that's why we study. Today we're going back into another brand new study, and it's called propitiation. Propitiation. Propitiation is a very, very important part of your salvation. Now, we've been over many other studies and talked about salvation. There are many different avenues of salvation. Now, I say that not to mean that there are many different salvations or types of salvation. There is only one type of salvation during this period of time that we live in right now. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. It's the Pauline gospel, the Pauline epistles. It's the revelation that Jesus Christ gave to Paul personally of how people get saved and get born again, and what the do's and the don'ts are about salvation, what God will accept and what He will not accept during this time that we live in now. And it's presently 2024, as I'm speaking. And, these studies, there's been many. I don't know how many of the ABCs that you've been over, but, they range all the way from about 2015 is when I started these, studies, I believe, but up till right now. So today, this is study number, this is the second letter in the letter P in the ABCs of Christian Growth, the second P study, if you will, study number 16A, and it's called propitiation. Now, what does propitiation mean? Well, and like I said, it's very, very important and vital. There are many different things that involve your salvation. And propitiation is part of one of them. And all of these, whenever you make biscuits or something like that in your kitchen, and say you go in there, and I'm not a very good scratch biscuit maker. I've tried my share of it and come out with some real inventions. But anyway, somebody that knows what they're doing when they're putting biscuits together, you don't just all of a sudden just cook a biscuit. I mean, we got these ones that you bang on the counter, and yeah, you can go ahead. It's already put together for you. But if you're doing it from scratch, you have many different ingredients that you put together. And all them ingredients, they don't stand alone to make a biscuit. The flour don't make a biscuit. The shortening don't make a biscuit. The salt don't make a biscuit. But all of them combined together magnify and glorify a biscuit. Now, I know that's kind of probably wouldn't nobody else describe propitiation like that, but propitiation is an ingredient in your salvation. And it was very, very necessary, like many other ingredients in your salvation. Salvation is just not being born again, there are many, many things. Well, according to our eternal life and according to God the Holy Ghost coming in and indwelling us, and according to Jesus Christ's blood being applied to us, and being born again and being saved for all eternity, and having God's promise we're going to heaven, and God becoming our Father, and we being adopted into His family, yes. But propitiation is an ingredient in your salvation, and it's a behind-the-scenes thing that many people, they used to teach this in Christianity and teach it to all the new converts. All these things about salvation used to be taught. But you ain't going to find any of this stuff anywhere else. Preachers don't preach and teach this stuff anymore. And the devil in this period of time that we live in does not teach, does not allow this to be taught, because it's very important. And if you know these things, then it helps you and it solidifies your salvation and grounds you in it. That's why we're studying it. But propitiation means to consolate. It means to appease one offended and render him favorable. And it means to make propitious. In other words, when propitiation happens, it is something that makes the offended person propitious. And what is propitious? It makes them favorable towards you. In other words, they're not offended anymore. It takes away the offense, and they accept whatever it is that is going to render propitious. In other words, redemption is the part to where Jesus hands the Father the payment himself. The blood, the sacrifice, the pure blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, his life. He gave his life for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus done that, he had redemption in his possession, because he redeemed us, and he went and he offered that to the Lord. Now the Lord, the Old Testament, the Bible teaches us that all the calves and the goats and the sheep and the turtle doves and all that stuff used to be offered for sins to the Lord. But they could not do what needed to be done and make it permanent and make it eternal. Only Jesus could do that. So Jesus did it, and then he took his redemption, and he offered it to the Lord. That's redemption. Now, what's the difference in that and propitiation? Redemption is the Lord offering it to his Father as a payment for all mankind's sins that will believe on him and accept him. Propitiation is the Lord reaching out and accepting it, and it completely satisfying his rage and his wrath that the Bible tells us that is upon all men and all sinners. And it appeases, it placates, it consolates, it appeases his offense that he has towards sin, sins, and sinners. It makes him propitious. He's willing to be favorable and willing to forgive because of that redemption that was offered to him by Jesus and him reaching out and accepting it and saying, this is satisfactory. That is propitiation. And you say, well, what's so important about that? Well, if he wasn't satisfied with it, where does that leave all sinners? If it doesn't placate him, if it doesn't make him propitious and willing to be favorable and forgiving, then we're in trouble. We're still under his wrath. And the wrath of God abideth on us. And as a matter of fact, if you're not born again, the wrath of God still abides on you until you believe on Jesus Christ and confess and ask him to be your Savior and call upon him to save you. But if you die in your sins, the wrath of God is upon you. There's no propitiation for you. I mean, propitiation, the Lord is willing to be favorable to those that will come through Jesus. And Jesus redeemed us and offered the redemption to the Father. The Father accepted it, and that is propitiation. So what is propitiation? The Father accepting the redemption and saying, it is good enough. A sinless lamb sacrificed himself, Jesus Christ, his Son, and done it on purpose, and done it for the reason of redeeming mankind. Just because Jesus died and he produced redemption does not mean that everybody's saved automatically. It has to go through the Father. And the Father accepted that gift, or that gift, or that sacrifice from Jesus, and it made him propitious. It provided propitiation. The Father was willing to accept that because it was a perfect, sinless sacrifice that he didn't deserve, and God's wrath was not upon him because he never sinned. But God's wrath is upon man. So man needs God to be propitious toward us. In other words, favorable. But the only way he's going to be favorable to us is through the redemption that Christ offered him, and he accepted it. So those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come through Jesus to get propitiation, the forgiveness of sins, and that the Father is satisfied and his wrath is no longer on you. You see that thing? Very important part of your salvation. It's an ingredient in your salvation. And we're fixing to go over some of the other things that I was talking about, the ingredients that are in salvation. I'm going to go over some of those and briefly describe them so that you see all the different ingredients in this matter of propitiation, or in this matter of salvation. Propitiation is an ingredient in your salvation that is vital. And, vital enough to whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Vital enough to whether you have God's favor or God's wrath abides on you. Big difference. Big difference. So you see how important these things are? Your modern preachers and teachers aren't teaching this anymore. You be very, very surprised to be able to walk in any church and hear somebody preach a message on this matter right here, or even the word come out of his mouth. It's not a word that's in Christendom anymore, but it's all in the Bible, and it's very important. Very important. So let's begin. Now, like I said, this is going to be a sort of introduction to our study, and we're going to get into it, but I don't want to get way ahead of ourselves and forget anything or leave anything out. I want you to completely understand this. Very important. Let me ask you a question. Before right now, this first 15 minutes or so that we've been together, have you ever heard of the word propitiation? Have you ever heard it? Have you ever heard anybody speak it? Did you even know the word existed? Did you know it had anything to do with Christianity? Did you know it was vital in your salvation? Did you know propitiation was part of your salvation? I didn't. Most Christians don't. That's why it's so very important for you to study and study under who God the Holy Ghost. Study what God the Holy Ghost gives you to study, because he makes sure you get the pieces that you need and you get the truth from the Word of God. Whether it be here with us or whether it be with somebody else, the Holy Ghost he is our teacher, and he gives us mentors and he gives us teachers that'll teach us truth if you approach it with a willing heart and a contrite spirit. Amen? All right, propitiation. Second study in the ABCs of Christian growth, study number 16A. Now, here we are with another study. This is another study that's very important ingredient, like I said, having to do with the subject of salvation. Now, as we've noted on other studies, and if you've been with us any time, you've heard me mention this before on some of the other studies that provide other ingredients having to do with salvation. There are many, and I'm going to bring them up to you and briefly go over them when we're talking on this study. Now, as we've noted before, our studies, that there are many that take place around a person being born again. These different truths that we study having to do with the different components of salvation should make a person praise the Lord for His brilliance and wisdom that He's shown in putting it all together. I'm telling you, the more you find out like stuff like this propitiation and redemption and reconciliation and salvation and sanctification and all these things that we're going to talk about and we're going to hear, nobody else could have done this but the Lord. All these different avenues, most people, all they see is salvation on the surface. They don't see all the behind the scenes and the legalities in God's courtroom that had to take place in order to sanctify you, in order to save you, in order to forgive your sins, in order to put them away and nail them to the cross and declare you righteous in Jesus' name through Jesus Christ's blood and give you Christ's righteousness. Many things. You know, only the Lord could have come up with a plan of salvation that's so very intricate in intricate detail and so perfect. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, He being the center of it all. He's the one that made everything possible, our Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful we ought to be that the Lord is such a God that He would go out of His way to preserve fallen creatures, us. And do it with such perfection. The more you find out about what the Lord has done and all these little things and these little parts of salvation that took place when you were saved and you were born again and all these things in God's courtroom and across His judgment seat and all these things that took place, it just makes you want to praise Him. Just to praise Him when you find Him out. Now, having to do with propitiation, the term propitiation appears three times in the Scriptures. It's in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. It's in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And it's in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. And those being the books that have to do with salvation justifies them, propitiation being in them, because that's what they teach us about New Testament salvation. Romans and 1 John. Now, in each case, it is Jesus Christ Himself who satisfies the demand of God. And that is what needed to be satisfied. God could not forgive man without a pure, holy, perfect sacrifice of redemption. It couldn't be done any other way. Man couldn't do it. Animals couldn't do it. Nobody else could do it because God couldn't accept them. He could not be propitious toward any other kind of sacrifice. He temporarily forgave sins in the Old Testament. He would forgive them, but they couldn't be taken away. When somebody would bring an ox and they cuss their neighbor out or something like that, and they took an ox or whatever the sacrifice was in the Old Testament, took it down to the priest, and the priest sliced his neck and poured the blood upon the altar and burnt the sacrifice and done it like God said to do it, then God forgave that sin. But the sin could not be erased. It's still on the books. He forgave it, just like He promised. But the difference is it couldn't be taken away. Now, you'll notice in New Testament salvation, with Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice, Himself, offered to the Lord as a redeeming sacrifice, and the Lord accepted that perfect sacrifice, propitiation, He accepted it, and it's perfect, and it's satisfactory to Him, and it appeases Him, and He can be propitious toward us favorable and forgive us. And not only forgive us, but also eliminate the sin completely. And not only a sin, but all sins having to do with the person that comes to Jesus. You see that? Big difference, isn't it? Let me read you these scriptures that I said. Three of them found in the scriptures that have propitiation actually spoken in there. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Through the forbearance of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see that thing? I mean, talking about the sin, our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world, that really shows the value of Jesus' sacrifice and how important it was for it to be what it needed to be so that the Father would accept it and be propitious toward us, and it changed his mind from wrath to favor. You see that thing? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How about that? You see, that even gets into the prior planning and the perfect plan that God planned out when he sent his Son. It said, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And it says, herein is love. You want to know what love is? Love ain't what the world teaches. That ain't love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, because we didn't. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Well, what do you mean he loved us? He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent a perfect Son of God, his Son, born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half, God in the flesh, Superman, God himself residing in flesh, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, suffered and shed his blood, was buried for 3 days and 3 nights and 3 days, resurrected and ascended back to the Father, and offered that sacrifice of redemption to the Lord, and the Lord accepted it. And he was the propitiation for our sins. What propitiation? The Father, instead of his wrath abiding on us now, whoever comes through Jesus, the Lord will be propitious with him and promises that. Because Jesus' sacrifice is fully valid and able to do what it needs to do to satisfy the Father. And the Father changes from having wrath on us to being favorable to us and us becoming sons instead of enemies. You see that thing? Wow. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The term propitiation, it appears three times only in the Scripture. And very important appearances, aren't they? And in each case, Jesus Christ is the one that satisfies the demands of God. He's the only one that could have done it. The Father twice declared, the Father, after this sacrifice, and Jesus, and the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice of redemption, the Father said, in each case, it is Jesus Christ who satisfies the demand of God, and the Father twice declared that he was well pleased with Jesus' sacrifice. Where does it say that? Well, it says that in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Listen to this. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is when Jesus took Peter and John and three of his disciples and went up on the mount and transfigured before them. And when they were up there, the Father spoke from heaven, and they all heard it, and this is what he said. And lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see that thing? Well, wait just a minute. The Bible says the wrath of God abides on all sinners. And he just got through saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So when you come through Jesus, it changes God's attitude toward you. And he is able to do that legally through his holiness and his justice, through his courtroom, through his goodness, through his forbearance, through his mercy and his grace. Everything starts up and kicks in and becomes able because of propitiation. There was nothing that could make the Father be propitious towards sinners except for a pure blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Jesus shed blood, but it wasn't just any old blood like those sacrifices in the Old Testament. Those couldn't do it. It was God's blood. You see that thing? It says in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Matthew chapter 17 is the other one, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You see that thing? God turns from his wrath to favor. And that's what you want from the Lord, is favor, right? Yes. We all want favor. We want to be in God's family. We want God's favor because we know where we're headed. You're headed to a grave unless the Lord comes. And if you're not born again, listen, my friend, you better take this serious, because God's wrath abides on everybody that's not been born again and has not been saved and not been born again. God's wrath abides on them. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on you. That's what it says. And the difference is in God being propitious towards you and God's wrath being upon you is Jesus Christ and that sacrifice that he offered to the Father. If you come through Jesus, everything kicks in. You see that thing? The Lord can be favorable to you now because you come through his Son, the perfect sacrifice offered to him, and he accepted it. Amen. All right. Well, look what else the Lord says in Scripture. Let me read this to you. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now listen to this. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There's your propitiation. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And that's exactly what the Lord does whenever you come through him. The Lord Jesus Christ has already done it, past tense. He bore your iniquities. But in order for it to kick in for your credit, you have to come to him like the Bible says. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your New Testament salvation. That's your New Testament salvation through Jesus Christ's sacrifice and his redemption that he offered to the Father. And the Father accepted it, propitiation, and was propitious now toward ungodly, wicked sinners that his wrath was on prior to them calling upon him and coming through Jesus. Now he's favorable and forgives and adopts you into his family, and you are his son. It goes from a complete enemy, stranger, to a beloved son adopted into the family of God. And propitiation is one part of your salvation that makes that possible. One appropriates the satisfaction. Remember what we read in Isaiah just a minute ago? It says, And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. But that satisfaction of him being satisfied, the propitiation, being satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice, it is valid, but it's not appropriated until you call, like the Bible says, and ask for it. And ask Jesus to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How? Through redemption. How? Through propitiation. The Lord accepted that sacrifice, and you're coming through that sacrifice to the Father. And the Father says, accepted. And for you to appropriate that satisfaction is when you trust in the blood atonement for you. You believe what the Scriptures say, you act by faith, and you do what the Scriptures say. Call upon his name to save you. And the Bible says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you call upon him, you believe in him. You see the Bible? You see how it says? It's perfect. It's perfect. Only God. Remember when we started this? We talked about how the Lord took all these different ingredients and put them all together and made just everything come out perfectly for a perfect salvation that could not fail and will not fail, because there's perfect God's Son's blood that's holding it up and perfect satisfaction with God's justice to appease his wrath and make him favorable toward all that will come through Jesus. That's your New Testament salvation, my friend. It's easy. A 5-year-old child can get saved. You ask a 5-year-old child and tell that same thing what I'm talking to you about. Now, maybe very in detail like that, but the simplicity of Christ. Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. The Father says, God says that if you'll come through his Son and you'll call upon his name, he'll save you and give you a home in heaven. Would you do that, little Susie? Why, yes, I would, brother. You want to call upon his name and ask him to save you? Yes, I do, brother. It's that simple. The simplicity of Christ and all these other religions and versions and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blab, whatever's out there, try to confuse this matter and make it complicated, and God is not the author of confusion. What's an author? Somebody that puts his words in a book. And you got a copy of that book, that King James Bible. Don't you let nobody take that from you. If God the Holy Ghost has taught you that's his word, you stick with it with your life. Amen. All right, so you see that thing? You see that thing? And you appropriate that propitiation, and you appropriate that redemption, you appropriate that salvation when you trust in his blood atonement. We read that in Isaiah. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You don't have to offer anything for sin. You come to the one that did offer for you. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And justification is another ingredient that we're going to talk about that's involved in your salvation. It's very necessary. That's a judicial part of God saving you. You had to be justified before God. You can't just walk up before God and say, hey, you couldn't be around God. When the wrath of God is abiding on you, God resists you. He don't want nothing to do with you. You're his enemy. But when you're justified through salvation and redemption and propitiation, and all these things are appropriated and they kick in because you have trusted in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, now you become adopted and you become a son and you're welcome in the family of God and you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You see that thing? You see that? For he shall bear their iniquities. And Jesus did. He bore your iniquities. He bore your past, your present, and your future sins. He bore them all. And you can appropriate that by coming to Jesus, like the scripture says, and doing it like the Bible says. It's not hard. Just call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord to save you through Jesus and his sacrifice and his shed blood. No secret words, no secret saying, my father beat your father at dominoes and all that sort of business and all that kind of stuff. The simplicity of Christ and salvation is easy, or it's the hardest thing in the world. Depending on which avenue you come. The word propitiation falls into that classification of words which is called biblical vocabulary. That's what it's called. It falls in that classification of words having to do with the scriptures and everything. And most of these words that we're going to talk about, remember I told you all the ingredients having to do with your salvation, they end in I-O-N, like salvation, redemption, sanctification, justification, I-O-N, shun. Most of these words in this biblical vocabulary that many, many Christians have no idea what they are, end in shun, I-O-N. They're unique since they all deal with salvation, yet each one emphasizes a different truth involved in salvation. They're completely different ingredients, but they perfectly bring salvation into being. You know, interesting enough, these kinds of words cannot be found in other translations. Now listen to this. I don't know what Bible you're using, and that's your business. You ask God the Holy Ghost what the Word of God is, but there are not 230 some odd, which are that many at least right now, circulating in the world that are called the Word of God. God's not the author of confusion when 230 some odd books say different things and bring different senses and different meanings. I'm not going to get into all that. I've been through all that, and I hated every minute of it. God showed me what his word was a long time ago, and the devil tried to take it from me, and he's going to try to take it from you. You need to ask God what his word is, and when he shows it to you, you nail that thing down, and don't you let anybody talk you out of it or take it from you. You stick to it. But, you know, interesting enough, these kinds of words that we're going to talk about, and we already been talking about, this propitiation and all the rest that I'm going to bring up probably in our next study, these are the kind of words that can't be found in other translations. None of them. Now, we're going to take the time briefly to look over these words and their part in salvation along with propitiation. This study is going to be primarily having to do with propitiation, and I've briefly described it to you and defined it to you, and it's pretty easy, isn't it? It's easy. Propitiation. It's what makes God happy and makes God acceptable toward man and his sin and his wickedness and iniquity and all the things that are terrible that causes God's wrath to be upon us. I mean, you say, well, how can God be that? God destroyed the world before, man. Don't you know that? He killed everybody on the earth but 8 people and all the animals and drowned them all to death because of his wrath. Now, he promised he would never do it, but he promised he'd never do it with water. But he's coming back, and his wrath is coming. When Jesus comes, the second coming of Christ, there's going to be some people paying the piper, because he ain't coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion and a man of war. His wrath is real. And the only way you get that, appropriate that, is coming like the Bible tells you to come, through Christ. That's why this world hates Christ, because he's the answer. The Lord said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. But propitiation, isn't that a wonderful thing? What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful part of salvation, propitiation. You know, when you get in an argument with somebody, and that other person that you're arguing with is, wrathful, angry at you, and you do something, and then it takes, I'm trying to make an example here, but it takes a certain thing that's going to appease that wrath that they're so angry at you about, and you, it's got to be perfect, and it's got to make them propitious. It's got to make them willing to be favorable to you and to forgive you and their wrath be appeased. That's what needed to happen with the Lord, except in a bazillion times more severe of a category. Either heaven or either hell. That's how severe. Now, you got all these nuts running around saying there ain't no hell. Well, when they take that last breath, they're going to find out. And that is a very sad moment for them, and a very frightening and tragic and horrific moment for them. Just appearing at Jesus' judgment seat is going to be something in itself. That's not a judgment. Christians are going to appear before a judgment seat before the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not going to be for judgment. It's going to be to see what you're going to get for rewards for what you did in the body as a child of God and being born again and what you did for the Lord. But that's going to be horrific enough. You're going to be looking at God the Son, God himself, with your own eyes, like Job said, I will behold him with my eyes and my flesh. Good stuff, huh? I'm glad we're studying, aren't you? Well, praise the Lord. We're going to stop right there, and I'm just going to cut this off right here, and we'll stop right there. Propitiation. This is the second study in the ABCs of Christian growth in the letter P, number 16A. And propitiation, an ingredient in your salvation. Very, very, very important. The Lord said he was completely satisfied. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So if you come through the appropriation that has been made that's well-pleasing to the Father, you come in the right way. If you're trying to work your way to heaven and one day you think you're going to stand before the Lord and say, well, I did this and I did this and I did, the Bible says all your righteousness is as filthy rags. Man at his very best, weighed in the balances, is altogether vanity before the Lord. It cannot make God propitious. It cannot placate him. It cannot make him pleased. You come to him any other way other than his perfect son and his sacrifice and his redemption, you come in the wrong way, folks. So don't try it. Be wise and be smart and come the way that the Lord provided. The Lord provided that for you. That's why it's so severe on people to reject it. Because God done that for the whole reasons of saving you. And you spit in his face when you turn it down. I don't want your stinking salvation. I don't believe in your son. I don't care. Pugh. Ooh, me. What a bad, bad, bad mistake. But, you know, the Bible says, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go that way. Many there be. The majority of people are going to die and go to hell. That's sad, isn't it? But it's there for you if you want it. And if you've already accepted it, you can rejoice in that. Because the Lord has been placated. He has been favorable to you and has saved you and justified you and adopted you and sanctified you, and all of the ingredients in salvation have been applied to you and to your life and to your account, and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff ever again. You're a son of God or a daughter of God and a son of God, and you have God's favor upon you. Isn't that wonderful? Big difference. All right, well, we're going to stop right there, and let me thank you again for honoring our wonderful Lord and studying, just a willing heart, wanting to find out the things of God and do the things that are pleasing before him. What a wonderful way to live. Well, the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And we'll come back again on our next study, and we'll delve into these other ingredients that I was talking to you about, like redemption and propitiation and expiation, spiritual circumcision, regeneration, justification, adoption, reconciliation, imputation, predestination. You probably heard some of these. Remission, sanctification, glorification, all these things. We'll talk about them, okay? And we'll briefly go over them and let you see what salvation is made up of, okay? And what a perfect, wonderful God has done for us. Amen? All right, well, the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.